He couldn't make it, huh?
When he finally did get up, he kept on falling back until he couldn't keep it up.
It happens to nearly all men, but he is huddled up on it because he's still doing it, you see. Trying it in the shack, if he indeed did it. Maybe he didn't even do it to Evelyn. Perhaps that's why I didn't feel to call her. Maybe it never happened.
Another thing I just thought of is that I wrote in.
You're a young girl, pretty girl. He can't do it. I say we got a complex problem out there in that jungle.
I just remembered of is towards I think it was near September October in school here. We, in English class, we had an assignment to write about a relationship. And that was the worst one I could think of, so I wrote about him. And I told him, you know, how I couldn't stand him at all, and how he couldn't get it up. And, I mean, I tore it down completely. And I think that it got around to him.
It
may have gotten around
to
him.
To me personally?
No, about him.
No, but was it sent to me personally that got around?
No, it was just in our English class. And I think that it got around the grapevine through people's mouths. I'm not sure.
That was nice of them.
I'm not sure, but
there
was
talk about
it. That
was nice of them to do that. Look like that. Trying it with a white woman. Well, okay. Now, this morning, did he show any interest to have a shower?
No.
I understand that last night in the service, he was not able to take a shower before the rally, and he was somewhat upset by that. I didn't understand that, but another supervisor did. And then this morning, he got up, and he went to the bathroom with Marie Lawrence, came back, and then he got all his things together, went and took a shower, and then came back from the shower and put the towels on the line and everything, and then got in line and came to breakfast.
He asked me what was for breakfast, but last night he was very concerned.
He asked you what?
What was for breakfast.
This morning?
Biscuits, yes, Dad. But he, last
what
night...
What did he say when you told him biscuits for breakfast?
Nothing.
Didn't say anything?
No. Last night he was very concerned. He seemed very self-conscious about his body odor. And I asked him why hadn't he taken a shower, and he said, well, it must have been a tight schedule of dinner and service and all. And he asked to go stand out there, and I let him go stand out there, because you know, he was so itchy and worried about it, and Willie made him come back in. And we were sitting here, and people kept fanning and stuff, and I think that really, you know, made him even more self-conscious.
Ready to die, no. He probably tried to make it with Evan. He probably tried to make it with Evan and couldn't. That's why I talked about it. Yeah, that's logical. People don't talk about good things because they don't want them to get destroyed.
But I was in.
Anybody talking about something they've done haven't been too good.
I was sitting in the room when he woke up, and he sat on the bed, and he looked very tired, like he couldn't make up his mind what he wanted to do. So I asked him, I said, well, you know, what's going on? And he said, well, I want to go to the bathroom. And I said, well, get ready, you know. So I stepped out, and he put on his pants, and we went to the bathroom. And
what hour?
Oh, it was about... 7:30 when he woke up, and it was about 8 before we got to the bathroom. And he was very cooperative. He even washed his face because I had started making people wash their faces instead of just coming to breakfast, and he washed his face and everything.
Something else he had stolen, reportedly, could be stashed, and he could have picked it. Did he or did he not go to work with a coach?
I wasn't there when he got a shower.
Who knows?
I cannot say absolutely, but as far as I remember, he did not have a coat. He had on a like a jacket, a thing like Candace has on right here next to you, a brown, yeah, tank top, brown tank top that was ripped, and that's all he took.
Nothing underneath it?
No. No, Dad.
No. No, wait, no. Anybody else see something differently?
When they were done with the showers, Ricky was sent back to the cottage with the towels and the soap. And we waited for him for quite a while to come back, and then we just went on to breakfast, and he was already there. So nobody really knows what he went to the cottage and got.
That's not true. I was at the cottage with the rest of the crew, and he came in and changed things, and I was there the whole time and then locked the cottage after he left. And
he left with something like this.
Exactly like that, with a brown strip on it. I remember because it was torn in the back, and it just somehow it just registered with me. It was kind of a brown tweed with a very, you know, slim strap.
David Goodman and Tony Linton. Say that.
Ricky came down the pace. We was out on the back peeling pineapples, and Ricky come down the path, and he went straight by the agriculture place, walking just fast, and had his head up, and he had on the sleeveless, just like she said, and he had on his boots, and I guess some jeans, and he never did look around or look back. I was looking at
Was he carrying anything?
No, he wasn't
carrying anything. Yeah, after he got through, I don't know if he ate breakfast or not. I don't know about that. But I think when he was coming around the corner, you know, he was kind of trotting.
Did he eat breakfast?
Yeah, he did.
I don't know.
A good breakfast?
Yes.
But I seen him when he trotted around there, you know, he was kind of going at a fast pace around to the bathroom. And I know he couldn't have came back in that shorter time because we followed kind of right behind him a little after. And then James Turner and Burrell went to go check if everybody was out of the bathroom, and they didn't see him. So he couldn't have made it back in that shorter time. He must just kept straight on out.
What I said today, I said I think I seen Ricky with a jacket. Not with a jacket. I said with something like what Steven had on, with a blue shirt with long sleeves. That's what I said today.
He did.
Dad, he was standing right next to me when he was eating, and what I saw him had on, it was a sleeveless top, like tank top, just something like that, and some jeans and some boots. That's what I saw. Then he left from the table and went and took his plate there. I mean, to the counter, and that's all I seen him.
If he has taken something else, he could have had it stashed. He didn't have thought of this before.
I was standing right next to Ricky, and he had on a grayish black t-shirt like Candace has on. He had something wrapped around his waist, and he was confronted because he walked off apparently from the rest of the
He had something wrapped around
his waist, and he left the rest of the public service, and he was saying, "I'm really sorry, man. That's how it got me to his attention." He goes, "I'm really sorry." And then we stepped in line and started eating breakfast. That's from the school.
What did it look like wrapped around?
I didn't pay that much attention because I was watching his hands motions because he kept saying, "I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry."
Any Lysol, disinfectant, alcohol? In the place where he could have put it inside of his.
There's disinfectant in the box in there, and Marie Lawrence said the box was not locked last night, but she sat on the box all night.
Marie wasn't in there all the time.
She wasn't there. Does anybody know what's in that box?
The kid.
Does anybody know how much is in that box?
So,
I wish you people have thought about this all along.
The lye soap, disinfect, rags, different clothes, I mean, stuff like that, towels and stuff.
Someone go with her quickly and see. I'll tell you one thing. He's laying out there with something inside him. Did he smile? Was he friendly at breakfast? He was what?
He was pretty quiet, like something was going on, but he just didn't want to talk about it. Same way it was last night. It seemed like that effect didn't ever go away this morning.
But a person gets ready to commit suicide, they so often don't think. They look off and observe, like it's happening and what people are going to be thinking about it. They kind of have a sense of relief. And they'll often be very relaxed, eat a meal, be very friendly, and hi, man, hey, man, so sorry. You know, no way to tell.
They don't ever think,
the ones that have told me that have tried it, they don't think of it going to really happen to them. They don't think that it's going to really happen. It's like they watch it. And then when it happens, that's the surprise.
He spoke and said, "Hey man, what's happening?" You know.
Hey man,
just,
what's happening?
Yeah, he was just quieter than usually because he was real quiet. He spoke and stuff, but he was just real quiet.
Jesus horse.
I know usually, just like, you know, when he was on the brigade, I passed by, he used to nod, you know, speak. But this morning when I came out the house about 9:05, he was standing looking toward me. And when I got to him, he turned his back and started looking toward the, you know, the cottage.
Could he have had something hit there in this?
He had on, some sweats, a green sweatpants, and he had something in his hand, but I couldn't really see what it was.
Have I?
A bunch of towels and stuff.
Everybody showered this morning.
Are you sure he couldn't have had a tape recorder?
I couldn't really see what it was.
I took Ricky to the shower about 8:30 this morning. He had on some green sweatpants and a towel, and he left the shower. I watched him go through the path. He met Lauren in there, and I waited for him about 15 minutes by the shower. And then I left, and I went over there, and I saw him. He was with Lauren and mine. And I asked him, why didn't he come back to the place that we were waiting for him? He said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I came on down with Lauren." And then he had breakfast, and the next time I saw him.
Any seconds?
I didn't see him have any seconds.
Huh?
I didn't. He had biscuits, and I didn't see him have any seconds.
I think on his plate he had a whole bunch of biscuits on it. He usually eats a whole bunch of food.
A whole lot of food.
Jose wanted me to tell you that he's missing a bottle of rubbing alcohol this morning.
Who?
Jose, Simon, Chief.
How far? Anybody missing anything else? Ricky, ever out there missing it? Did he miss it? Could he miss it? Nawab said he had a plastic bag with food in it?
No.
he did. He didn't have, nothing like that.
Well, that's what we're trying to find out, babes. Okay. Anybody know anything else? You see anything else? Anybody see him back there? When was the last place you were seen going past the toilet?
Yeah, he was trotting back there. Coming back to the bathroom.
Gave you the vegetable spot to see him after that? What's that?
I saw him. I was standing at the table, and he came down the path by the laundry and went straight that way. Just straight behind the after curtain plate. He just kept going with his head up. He wasn't looking around at nobody.
He's trying to go right into the bananas, you mean?
No, he didn't go into the bananas. He went made the bananas.
Shut up, please.
He went behind the building. Straight like he went when we go to.
The toilet?
He didn't go to the
experimental kitchen.
That's right. He went that straight down through the path. And he didn't look around. He didn't stop. He didn't say anything. So I was looking at him. And he didn't have anything in his hand. He had on that snippled T-shirt like they say, and his boots.
Oh, I saw Ricky pass through, and he passed directly through the kitchen because I was filling out a hot washer stand, and I looked at his feet and his head. That's all I paid attention to, and I said, oh, he had on boots that a woman could wear for myself, you know, and I said he probably was going to the crew because he was on, you know. So he undoubtedly made his second attempt because she saw him on the outside, but I do know
people go through so he can centralize certain people if they need rest, and including his grandmother. It's really heavy on her. When the incident with Sydney happened, and Ricky was teased about it, when he got back to L.A. Temple, he left and stayed away all night. When I talked to him, Cindy 17, what is this?
I was then.
What's that?
I was then, I was 17.
17, Cindy, she remembers, later he and I talked, and he is suicidal, I think, because he cannot take group criticism. How did he come to come back?
He told me all about when he went down to a friend of his house all the way up in Hollywood where he used to live or something. And he says that he went up there and I think he said he had a couple of drinks and started talking to him. And he realized, he said he realized that it wasn't going to be no good to walk away or something. I don't remember exactly what he said. I should have. And I don't know. Everybody knew that he had left. And during that whole day when he had gone, everybody was coming to me asking me all kinds of questions and shit. And I, you know, so when he came back, everybody came running to me telling me Ricky was here. And then somebody came with him, bringing him to me. You know, it was a big thing where, you know, I'm sure he knew that everybody in the temple knew that he was gone and brought him back to me and all this kind of shit. And we sat up for about, I don't know, it must have been about 3 or 4 hours that night talking. And he told me, you know, he said,
please be still. Would you care at all about the welfare of our children? Please be still.
He told me that that he had been teased, and he told me that he couldn't take it, especially coming from his best friends, Tony and Jerome and some of the other guys. And he said that but he still wanted to stay with me. He laid this big love trip on me and shit. And he said no matter what I said, no matter what I did, that he still wanted to stay with me and all this kind of stuff. And I says, well, Ricky, I'm not going to put up with it no more. I should have been more sensitive. He said, I'm not going to put up. I said, I'm not going to put up with it no more. You know, if you're going to be laying this kind of trip, do it on somebody else. And I said goodbye. And then that next week when he came, you know, that, I think it was the next week, and when he committed suicide, and, you know, I think it was the next week. I'm not sure. I don't remember exactly when. I think it was the next week when he committed suicide. And, you know, I said, if you're going to lay that trip on somebody else, don't lay it on me. You know, all these people do all this shit.
Okay.
I'm not going to be alone.
Now, when he had his confrontation, Stephen stepped forward, and the only positive thing I can remember was that Stephen, my son, said, perceptively, he's a very good worker, a hard worker. That would have saved his face to some degree. He also said, Stephen said he was the only person that did not compete with him. And he said he didn't feel like he had to. Stephen didn't feel like he had to compete with him.
Dad, I was the one just wrote the letter, and I remember well on the summer trip when this happened with Cindy and Ricky, because I was one of those who happened to talk to Ricky after the incident happened. I talked to Cindy, but on the trip, he was teased about it really bad and stuff, and when we got back that night, he left, and he stayed away all night long. We was, you know, they had people out looking for him. And when he came back that morning, and we was talking to him, and he said that he couldn't take what had happened on the trip, people teasing him and stuff. And he told me that he wanted to commit suicide, but then he thought about you and some of the things that you had did, and that's what made him come back. But he, on the trip, only person that really, you know, told him that it wasn't nothing wrong with what he did, everybody makes mistakes, was Stephen, and that's the only person that made him, everybody else made him feel like, you know, like that he was the only one that did it. And, you know, and they made him feel really bad and stuff. And I don't think that he could take good criticism. Because every time he's
19, isn't he 19? Ricky? Yes, 19.
At the time that he came back, I was on the L.A. work crew, a whole lot of people that came back and said Ricky had done this and Ricky had done that. It's like the first place he came was into the workers' room. Before he went anywhere else, and like he just sit down for a long, long time. So he said, "What's happening?" You know. So he started talking about it, and then I think it was later on that Tony said, "Hey, man, that wasn't cool." You know. Then we said, "That wasn't cool what you did, man." But hey, everybody fucks. We went just like that. And then, like when he went out, a whole lot of little children are out there in the big dining room downstairs in L.A. And they were just, you know, looked at him all funny and stuff, and they were teasing him. And then that night is when he left, and then me and Sebastian went to look for him, so we couldn't find him. So we came back about 4 o'clock that morning, and then we found him about 7 o'clock. He was in the annex, just laid out, you know. So we said, "What happened?" So he said he went up to Hollywood, one of his friend's house, somebody that he could talk to, and he said he talked out his problems, and that that was the only way he could get us out. He just had to get to himself for a while. He said the only way he could get a solid, he had to get to himself for a while and just think it out. Because he said, long as he was around people, they wouldn't understand and he wouldn't be able to communicate with them. So he had to get to himself. I'm not quite sure. In a way, I think he's been that path, and he's been that path already, and he's insecure about a lot of things. But I think he has a certain fear, and I think by doing this, he once said that Frances didn't care about him. He said that that she had left him or something.
Who did?
Frances, his mom. He told me and Tony this. He said that he didn't think
left
that she, I guess in New York, and he said that she was always downing him or something. She didn't really build him up or nothing. She didn't give him the security or something. And like that. And I think that was it.
He doesn't like you at all.
When he
was living with her. That's what he said to a group of us one time.
What's that?
That she was always off into her own thing, like her career thing before, you know, movie star thing. She was always off into that. She didn't have no time for him.
But they still are there.
How was his work pattern while he was on learning? Why was it last night that someone said that?
But I have to have your help off if we continue.
Except one.
You
understand? There's only one eligible person last night. That was James Ford. And
mild number
they
were in.
Well, on the first day on Wednesday. And
small number that said
the
yes.
He had been thoughtful about something. Tarek Baker was his supervisor. And he had been thoughtful about some of the character that he had. He didn't have his mind on something, and in the afternoon, the late afternoon didn't work as well.
That's interesting.
But he just had the one day.
I said, I need your help.
We had to say, we were going to
make it. I was going to say, if somebody stood up to my left and said, it's the only one eligible to be off tonight. It's a long, long night.
He put in some extra hours on Sunday morning. He got up early and went in the back and worked. And then we were supposed to have a half day off, and he volunteered.
Sit down, man.
You know, some extra hours. So he worked before we started work, and then he worked some extra hours during the day. So
I hear that
work pattern was
good. Another person, you said, something good. So in other words, we would be happy.
How many think that
LA. He
left be just as well if we ended our lives?
After consultation, sat around watching TV.
Well, I'm shocked.
Right? Why didn't somebody bother to tell us when they're appealing to his mother to come here that he didn't like his mother? Did you care
Christina Sampson.
He did tell Monica Gibson. I used to take care of her.
That's
and one time she was looking for him. He was over our house, and I did not know that he had not told his
I'm
mom
not speaking
where
now
he was.
Necessarily on personal. I'm speaking on,
but
you know.
But he did tell Monica that.
Only one way. It's revolutionary.
He did tell Monica that he didn't feel like going to school.
All tiring. Say nothing there. She's tiredness. I'd move for it on the basis of tiredness, but that isn't right. That's immoral.
Clothes
that
the I'm tired of all of you.
I remember one
I
time when I was at the union department store.
You can't judge that tiredness. You say, I don't judge you.
So
but I'm the only one here trying to feel for everybody at the same time. You're feeling for some people. Maybe you feel for more than a few. I'm the one who has to feel for everybody. I got to make the decision who gets on an airplane tomorrow, who goes in the city, who talks to a doctor about a case, which cases get on that airplane. Oh, how tired I am. Oh, how tired I am making such decisions. Who is priority?
Your mother didn't care.
Whose need is greater?
We have heard.
Who's less likely to cause us difficulty?
How you felt.
You can't know the pain of that unless
you
you're doing what I'm doing.
Decent clothes to go to Hollywood West High. We know you are weighing this.
How many would just soon go back to the United States and, for whatever reason, protest, demonstrate, die, or denounce communism? Nobody? Nobody would vote for that? Not a soul. What is it?
I would, if some of our people got locked up back there, I would go back. I'd be willing to go back with you, you know, but I wouldn't be foolish enough to think I could go back by myself because I couldn't do anything by myself. But I'd be willing to go back and go to jail and stuff.
I'll tell you.
But I don't know if I'm that
I'll
strong.
I'll tell you. If some of our people get locked up, ain't nothing we can do if we go back. Not as socialists. No way. Don't kid yourself. I don't think you can do anything if you denounce it. But you sure won't do it as socialists. All you'll do is get more people in jail.